Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on January 4th, 2021.
2020.
No, that was last year. We are past it. We are moving forward.
2020.
I said stop. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features an update on Governor Henry McMaster's bout with COVID-19. We hear about how the president wanted Georgia officials to find votes for him, a look forward to the Electoral College certification on Wednesday, and who from our state isn't voting for it. In our business section, we have details of federal funds flowing to small businesses and schools in our state, and we find out just how popular South Carolina is for folks relocating. And finally, we hear from DHEC officials about the latest on the vaccine rollout in South Carolina. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Tell us about your thoughts for the new year, 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 5,056 deaths, and currently there are 299,685 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of January 4th at 4 p.m. Since we last spoke, we have seen some horrible records. On Christmas Day, for example, we saw 4,370 new cases being reported. That was a new high. And on January 4th, we reached an all-time high percent positive rate of 33.3%. And we were in the 30% range during the last 4 of 5 days. An unrelenting surge for our state right there, folks. And now we have seen more than 5,000 confirmed deaths, and we'll surpass 300,000 confirmed cases on Tuesday. Our hospitalizations continue to increase, with 2,155 patients now hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state. 419 are in intensive care. That's a record that's getting smashed every day, it seems now. And 215 South Carolinians are on ventilators. Okay, we're going to start off our politics section with an update from some news that happened during our hiatus. Governor Henry McMaster was diagnosed with COVID-19 on December 22nd. Now, this was shortly after his wife Peggy came down with the virus. McMaster was reported as having mild symptoms and received monoclonal antibody treatment on the same day as his diagnosis. Now, this outpatient treatment is a preventative measure for those with mild to moderate symptoms and is readily available to the general public upon a physician's order, according to his office. I reached out to his office on January 4th to get an update on the governor and was told by spokesman Brian Sims that, quote, the governor and the first lady have fully recovered. The governor only experienced the cough and fatigue that we previously reported, while the first lady remained asymptomatic throughout. The only treatment the governor received was the antibody treatment, quote. As for when they'll receive the vaccine, Sims said, quote, they will receive the vaccine when it's their turn based on CDC/DHEC phases, but not before, quote. Also, we expect to see the governor's executive budget coming out this week, and we'll have more for you on our weekend pod, as well as a legislative session preview with some friends of the pod. So something to look forward to there, folks. Yeah, set your DVRs. Speaking of session, there are pre-filed bills out there, folks.
All right.
That's right. Lawmakers have pre-filed nearly 1,000 of them ahead of the new legislative session next Tuesday. And a little spoiler alert, hundreds of them will go absolutely nowhere, like not even have a hearing nowhere, okay? So when you hear about these crazy bills, calm down for a moment. In fact, on average, about 140 bills a year ever make it through to ratification. But if you want an idea of which bills may move the fastest, look at the ones that made it out of committee in the last session. To do this, check out scstatehouse.gov, go to the Legislation tab, click Bill History Actions, click the drop-down for the previous General Assembly, then search by Favorable Committee Report. You get all that? I'm sure my insiders will be interested in this. So, now what this will do will tell you which bills have already made it through a House or Senate committee, and a favorable report means the committee approved it and sent it to the floor of that chamber to be put on the calendar and eventually voted on. You can also go through all the pre-filed bills on that website as well at sestatehouse.gov. Here comes session, folks. And moving on to something a little bit bigger, President Donald Trump asked Georgia's Republican Secretary of State to, quote, find 11,780 votes on a call January 2nd. No, we're not making this up here, folks. Listen to part of that hour-long conversation between the outgoing president and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, you don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Now, this phone call, thanks to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Washington Post, came out after 18 other attempts since Election Day of Trump trying to get a hold of Raffensperger. Now, Raffensperger said on Good Morning America that he didn't accept those phone calls because they're in a litigation mode with the president's team against the state of Georgia. And whenever you say anything, you have to have your advisors there. And they had to have their advisors there, so he preferred to talk when we weren't in litigation. Now, you may remember that there was a free and fair election by some 5 million Georgians on November 3rd, and there have been two subsequent recounts, one by hand, and a certification of results since then. They all confirm President Donald Trump lost Georgia. You also may be wondering why Raffensperger would record this call and release it. Well, maybe you're not, because these days, everything's everything. But one advisor did tell Politico Playbook, quote, "This is a man who has a history of reinventing history as it occurs. So if he's going to try to dispute anything on the call, it's nice to have something like this, hard evidence, to dispute whatever he's claiming about the secretary. Lindsey Graham asked us to throw out legally cast ballots. So yeah, after that call, we decided maybe we should do this," quote. Who can forget? Now, this came in handy on Sunday when the president tweeted that Raffensperger was, quote, "unwilling or unable to answer," quote, "questions about his baseless claims of widespread voter fraud." So Raffensperger replied, quote, "Respectfully, President Trump, what you're saying is not true. The truth will come out," quote, and it did. So speaking of Graham and Senator Tim Scott, it's not clear how they plan to vote Wednesday when it comes to certify the Electoral College results of the free and fair election, the most secure election, and the bedrock of our democracy that occurred on November 3rd, in which Joe Biden won. However, Graham has tweeted that his colleagues looking for support to challenge the Electoral College vote will need to provide proof of the charges they are making. He tweeted that they will also need to provide clear and convincing evidence that the failure to act in both the state and federal courts and the state's legislatures, which investigated these claims, was made in error. They will also need to show that the failure to take corrective action in addressing election fraud changed the outcome of these states' votes and ultimately the outcome of the election. Quite a high bar to clear there. So meanwhile, more than 100 Republican House members, including several from South Carolina, are supporting federal intervention to throw out the results, which were decided and certified by the states. That's right, folks. Feds telling the states what to do, just like when Texas tried to tell other states what to do, which didn't really work out. But Republican Congressmen Jeff Duncan, William Timmons, and Joe Wilson plan to challenge the results on Wednesday. Newly sworn-in Congresswoman Nancy Mace told the Post and Courier that, quote, "I am not going to vote to overturn the results of the Electoral College because I do not believe that Congress knows better than voters or better than the states," quote. Some division right there within the own delegation. But Wednesday will be just another test for democracy. Now for our business section, let's take a look at some recent federal spending that is benefiting the state. You may recall that a $2.3 trillion relief package Congress barely managed to pass on December 21st. Remember that one? All the fun talking about that? Well, maybe you got some money from Uncle Sam, but in part of that massive relief package was $900 million for schools in South Carolina, according to the Post and Courier. The State Department of Education can keep 10% of that for programs benefiting schools statewide. The rest will be allotted to the state's 81 school districts based on their population and poverty rating. Now, it will be up to the local school boards to decide how to spend it, and unlike other federal COVID-19 aid for specific expenses, the list of possibilities is long, including protective equipment, teacher bonuses, technology and maintenance, and expanding on what districts could do with their much smaller share of $195 million through the CARES Act. Now, Governor McMaster is getting $61 million to allocate to schools on his own. Congress made clear this time around that governors can't use their share for vouchers or tax credits for private school tuition. I think the Supreme Court in South Carolina already took that up as well. Now, speaking of schools, State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman has tested positive for COVID-19. A December 31st test showed she was positive, and she has been quarantining, according to her Twitter account. She's experiencing only mild symptoms and will be working from home. Moving on to some more federal funding, the South Carolina Department of Administration announced on December 31st that 2,970 applicants for the SC CARES Act relief grant programs have been notified that they will be receiving grant funds, totaling $65 million, through either the Minority and Small Business Relief Grant Program or the Nonprofit Relief Grant Program. Now, these were created and funded by the General Assembly and signed into law by the governor on September 25th. The deadline to apply for those programs was November 1st. These grant programs were designated for small and minority businesses and nonprofit organizations to reimburse them for costs associated with business interruption and expenses due to COVID-19. And finally, do you remember all that talk about folks moving out of the big cities and moving to states like South Carolina? Well, we're not exactly the hottest state, but I'd say we're still popular. I like us still. South Carolina is the number 15 growth state in America, according to U-Haul data analyzing migration patterns from 2020. People coming to South Carolina in one-way U-Haul trucks increased by more than 9% during the past year, while departures rose more than 10% from 2019. Now, despite the larger rise in departures, arrivals still accounted for close to 50.4% of all one-way U-Haul traffic in the state during 2020, to make it the 15th state for netting DIY movers. That sounds exciting, but you want to know where we were last year? We were number 4, folks. What happened? Going from number 4 to 15, I'm sure there's a sports reference here I could be making. Oh no, that's about OSU being ranked 11, right? I think. Oh, now I will say Ohio was actually the number 4 destination. So being a former resident of the Buckeye State for some 6 years, I have to ask, why? As of Monday, January 4th, South Carolina has received 129,675 doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and it's administered 43,227 of those doses, which is a 33% utilization rate. Now, residents and staff of long-term care facilities are currently being vaccinated with the Moderna vaccine, and DHEC will soon provide stats on that vaccine rollout. But on Monday, DHEC Interim Public Health Director Dr. Brandon Traxler told reporters on a call that the state has just received its first shipment of the second round of the Pfizer vaccine, which is taken 21 days after the first dose. Now, the state remains in Phase 1A, which is focusing on healthcare workers and those in long-term care facilities. Traxler said vaccination for Phase 1B, which includes essential workers, people at high risk, and those over 65, could begin in February. But there are a lot of influencing factors.
From what we are hearing, we are not hearing stories of large amounts of vaccine hesitancy, though I will say that we are hearing some reports of people who are wanting to wait until later in Phase 1A to get vaccinated to see how others do first. And I really want to strongly encourage those people that might be considering that to go ahead and get vaccinated as soon as it's their turn. Because, you know, one of the things we will be looking at to move to phase 1B is appointment rates and utilization rates also of the vaccine. And so I would not want somebody to miss out on their turn in phase 1A because they were delaying it or waiting for a while.
Traxler said to speed up vaccine deployment, people need to continue to slow the spread of the virus to help alleviate the burden on the healthcare workers so they can vaccinate more people. But there are also more factors they will consider before beginning phase 1B.
DHEC is following that original advice from CDC, where you want two really criteria to have been met before you move on to phase 1B. And one of those is that there's 70% of the people in phase 1A have been vaccinated or offered vaccination. And the other is that you want to see the supply, surpassing the demand, I would say. So basically, if we start seeing appointments dropping off significantly at these provider sites, as well as seeing that greater than 70%, then along with CDC's guidance, we would then proceed into 1B. We still only have a certain amount of vaccine that we are getting each week, and that does not increase even if we move into another phase. So when we are told by the federal government that we'll receive a certain amount, as I said, going into phase 1B early just means that there'll be even more people trying to get those same limited doses. And we want those limited doses really going to those frontline healthcare workers who are helping to save lives and to those most vulnerable among us in the nursing homes before we begin vaccinating out further.
At the moment, there aren't any plans to split the Moderna vaccine distribution in half, a move that data shows would provide an identical immune response to the full 100 microgram dose for 18 to 55-year-olds. This is something that the FDA is weighing right now and something the state would follow if recommended. Again, that vaccine is currently being administered in long-term care facilities in the state. As for the current surge in the state, Traxler said it's placing a significant strain on hospitals.
That is something that does concern me significantly, especially in the areas of our state that are the hardest hit and that are seeing the highest hospitalization rate and ICU and ventilator usage rates. We are seeing a significant strain on a number of these hospital systems, and that does then lead to potentially staffing shortages, especially when you're trying to do a massive vaccination campaign at the same time. But it also is that many people that are sick and that are, really competing for those resources and staffing, when they all need them. And so this is why it's so important for us to certainly step up and get vaccinated when it's your turn. But until it's your turn, to stay committed to the cause and wear your mask, avoid gatherings, do physical distancing when you're out in public or around people outside your household.
Some sound advice there. And again, be aware of how your actions are affecting others, communities, and hospitals in our state. Welcome to our wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. Tell us how you're handling things. If you've contracted COVID-19 or how often you're getting tested, tell us if you've received your stimulus check or if you're not getting one, don't be mad at us. And maybe tell us how your holidays were. Call us 803-563-7169. You can leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world up to 3 minutes long. So, AT, I hear we have an international call.
International,
from a diehard, a ride or die, an OG fan. And I'm very excited for this.
Yes, we have a call from... Oh, I don't have my headphones on.
Oh, I deleted it.
Hold on. Okay, headphones on.
For
yes,
safety.
Yes, we have a
headphones
call.
Headphones on for safety.
Yeah, I scream so loudly, I often pop my own eardrums. But we got a call from Jakarta Tom. Dispatches from elsewhere. So let's get to it. Let's see what our pals abroad have to say.
Yes.
Hi, guys. This is Tom Bartlett, Jakarta Tom. I called in a long time ago. It's been a little bit busy, but it's the new year. It's 2021, and I want to make sure y'all had a call in. to start the year off right. Y'all's biggest little local state podcast. It's been busy. You all been really busy with the campaign trail and haven't been able to get much of a call in, but I have been listening, and there was time I was not listening to the podcast, but I was still hearing y'all. And that was like, I think I was listening to one of the NPR national casts, and they went to the local state reporters for the Jamie Harrison, Lindsey Graham take on the debate, and there was Gavin. So that was some adult good news making the national. As for me, well, it's been a semester of online teaching, getting way better at Zoom, but not liking it too much. We are looking at plans on maybe doing a hybrid model, transition back to sort of a new normal, but I just don't see that happening anytime soon. I think we're going to start back in another week or so and, again, be online for the foreseeable future. So I'm staying here. I'm in Jakarta and thought about coming back. I'm very thankful for you guys for keeping a steady update of all that's going on there. Meanwhile, I do have a pot of Hop and John's, even though I don't have any black-eyed peas. I'm using black beans. But I'm going to make it a little hot with some Carolina Reaper pepper sauce in there, too. So one last thing, a couple of recommendations for some reading for you guys. If you're for a little horror, there is My Best Friend's Exorcism by South Carolina's own Grady Hendrix. And for the sci-fi, The Quantum Thief by Hanno Rajaniemi. I think I said that right. In any case, y'all have a good time. Stay safe, keep well, be easy.
That's it. Got cut off. He got cut off right at the end.
Well, that's an international call there, cutting him off at the end. Jakarta, Tom, so considerate for you to start off our new year with a message, making sure that we had one in the hopper. How considerate? He's ahead
Jakarta
of us time-wise. He was already in the new year before we were, so he's just like,
yeah,
well,
he was just thinking about, I mean, his first thought
something.
Of the new year was about us, yeah. So, Tom, I got to admit, I think about you all the time, so thank you so much.
I want to know more, like, is he going to the beach at all? Is he making time to go to Bali or go to Christmas Island? I mean, I know he's working, but I'm like, just tell me a little bit more about how things are going out there. But yeah, and thanks again for the reading recommendations, because I'm getting back into the reading spirit here, E.T. It's been
a
couple months.
Reading children's books now.
Agatha Christie is not children's books.
No, they're good. They're good.
Hercule Poirot. I just like keeping up with Hercule, because he's just so weird. You know, he's just so quirky and fun.
He's a quirky little man. Yes, correct.
A funny little man, as they describe him.
So Gavin, he transitioned just now.
Yes.
Great throw for us.
Segue.
Talking about how while he's still in Jakarta, he's still at his Hoppin' John and all that.
I mean,
stuff,
respect.
Right?
Look at that. I mean, all the way over there. And poor A.T. Shire can't even be bothered to make Hoppin' John here in the
States. I've never had it in my life. Yeah.
Is why 2021.
I've never had it on New Year's Day, you know, like the good luck meal. I've never had that. And I'm not really interested in it.
No one really. I mean, you can. I mean, I enjoy it. We had some good. Good thick bacon. I think we even had my friend
bacon,
Kayla
baby.
Made it, and it was just superb. Collards
but,
were great.
You also know me, Gavin. Where
we had some
it's
mac
like,
and cheese. Oh,
if there's a day that you're supposed to do something,
sure,
that
course.
Makes me
you're
really not
want
to do it. Yeah.
So I think it works out in your favor because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is what we want you to do.
Yeah.
Everyone else is supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to
you
not
gotta
be doing this.
You got to maintain your role.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yin and yang,
right,
folks.
Yeah.
Look at I got a tattoo on my back of it. You can tell. I'm just kidding.
I got this tramp stamp. I actually got like four or five of them on my body right now. But
it's actually a yin and yang moving through a moon phase. It was cool in 94.
It was a waxing gibbous of a yin yang, but
it's not there.
Anyway, Gavin, what was the best thing about your break?
I don't know. I didn't even. I'm also like, you know, this is not about, you know, this about me. I'm just not good at any best stuff. I can tell you what the worst thing about my break was. I played a really horrible round of golf with my father at the Muni.
I played great.
We had two. We partied up with two, you know, normal people, but I couldn't drive the ball. It was really embarrassing.
Disgusting. Pathetic.
But you know, I guess the great thing was just seeing family and you know, everyone's safe and doing well. So and just chilling out and not really having to deal with the pod, even though I love the pod. Of course, I'd never forget about the pod, but you know, just,
I was ready to do the pod today.
I was totally ready to be back. I'm happy to be back. I love the start of the new year. I'm, you know, get everything done. Let's get going.
Yeah, my favorite thing was, so if any of you have ever met my wife, Caitlin, she doesn't listen to this, so we could say whatever we want. Because
we're not going to get in trouble.
She's scared to find out what I say about her. Mm. But if you ever met her, she gets sayings wrong. And it's very innocently wrong. And it's funny. And like sometimes it hits. Like she calls skyscrapers and high rises sky rises. And I'm like, those are what they should be called. Mm-hmm. Those are better mm-hmm. names. But while we were over break, we were playing golf and she goes, well, you know what they say. If you play with spiders, you're going to get burned.
What was this in reference to? Like,
I was like, Caitlin, what are you talking about? And so if you play with spiders, you're going to get burned.
Okay, well,
it made me remember that one time we were in a huge argument. This was like 12 years ago, just like an argument that couples get into where afterwards you don't really remember what it's about.
Okay, you're teaching me about this. Okay, I'm learning about relationships.
So we were just drag out arguing for like 2 hours. And then, I don't know, that might be an exaggeration, but we were really arguing.
I wish I could know what it was about.
And then she made a point and she looked at me and she throws up her hand. She goes, dogs in your court.
Wild phrases from Caitlin.
And I just started laughing and the argument was over. But
well, at least we have a catchphrase for 2021. When you play with spiders, am I saying this correctly?
You know what they say.
You know,
if you play with spiders, you're going to get burned.
Were you? I don't even. Perfect.
We don't know. We don't know.
And that's how it should be. Yes.
We also have to address some controversy in podcast land, right?
Yes. I haven't read up as much about this as I should because it is.
Yes.
It's traumatic. Reading. I think you know a little bit more about me, but it's dealing with a fellow podcaster. A dad.
We are, of course, talking about being dad.
Talking about being dad. Apparently, yes. He told his kid to, like, give me this. I'm trying to read up on this.
I'll tell you what happened. So this guy, I forget his name. Gavin, you're looking at it.
Just
you can tell
Bean
me
Dad.
Name.
Let's not even bother naming
I call
this
him Bean
guy.
Dad. Yeah, I mean, he is forever Bean Dad.
Bean Dad forces hungry child to open tin can. BBC.
Correct, yes. His
John
daughter
Roderick.
Asked for... John Roderick, Bean Dad. His daughter asked for food. He gave her... a can opener and a can of beans and said, if you're hungry, figure it out. And,
which is my diet, so I really can't hate on this guy. I mean, you've been to my house, yeah, AT. Yeah. I hand everyone a can opener and a can of beans.
Everyone that enters Gavin's house.
And I said, don't waste those. Those are the good beans.
Those are the good beans. Those are cannellinis.
he was trying to teach his daughter. That's what he said.
6 hours later, she figured it out, and she was hungry.
If you're teaching your daughter, shouldn't you... teach her how it works in the first place.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Not just like figure
everyone,
it out.
Everyone deserves help.
This is
if
a good time to
me.
Hop in, John. Figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you need those beans. So the internet erupted in child abuse accusations and stuff like that. And he apparently, this guy, okay, so this guy, he has a podcast with Ken Jennings. We all know who Ken Jennings is, Mr. Jeopardy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Jennings came to his defense, and I don't know if I believe it totally, but he goes, my friend John, he embellishes things. So maybe he made this all up just for the internet.
Well, this
and
is
I could
also
see that
6 hours.
Happen,
he says, not 6 days. She had a full breakfast. I mean, I was around my nephews. They're like 5 and 4, and not that I'm comparing them to a 9-year-old, but I mean, it's...
They need help with their bean cans,
but like you also need to like make sure that everyone has enough
you have to
information
open all their cans
to be
of
aware
beans.
Of the lesson. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yes. I don't know enough about this. Just like this is just typical podcasting, gotcha podcasting right here,
oh,
AT, which we
gotcha
despise.
Journalism.
We despise.
And this,
us.
I mean, this guy had to delete his Twitter and all that stuff. And I'm not saying sympathize with Bean Dad, but I'm just like, maybe just don't. This is not what Twitter's for.
Oh,
to shame your daughters not knowing how to use can openers and then cyberbullying a man off of Twitter. So
I mean
maybe that is exactly what Twitter's for.
I mean, and it's comedy. I don't know. I mean, I think it's no one died here. No one was injured. So
there are other things we could talk about besides Bean Dad. When I saw that trending, I was like, come on, people,
just
what
do
are we
for
doing
some
here?
Outrage. That's what we need.
Do we have anything else to talk about, Gavin?
Well, I was going to say, from one Bean Dad to another.
Yeah,
but
Gavin
I'm a
is
single
a,
Bean Dad.
He's a single Bean Dad.
I don't talk
dad,
about it very often. Not making fun of single parents now. Don't come for me. It's all no, one just joke, folks.
Bean dads, Gavin's
we
a bean dad.
We support beans and parents, specifically legumes.
Legumes. Okay. Do we have anything else to
just
hit?
Just besides the Reds, the Washington football team winning the NFC East over against your poor Eagles. I mean,
I was trying to get
through
this.
I didn't even know this was happening. I'm sorry for your loss.
I mean, it's not really a loss.
It's a release,
it is a rebirth,
more or less for you,
yeah,
I think.
That I'm free of this terrible season. But I mean, we were never going to win the division. Only the Giants or the footballs, the Washington footballs, could have won the
it's
division.
It's a race to the bottom, right? This whole season,
yes,
for everybody besides
and
the
so
Chiefs.
And so I don't quite understand the outrage that the Eagles did something in their own best interest instead of doing something that would be detrimental and good for one of their opponents. Like, come on. And well, the Giants can go suck an egg.
When you play with spiders,
you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned.
I think Caitlin called it.
Well, I think it was summed up the best when someone said the dog's in your court. Okay.
So we'll see where the Washington football team goes. I mean, we've talked about sports and podcasts in this podcast. So like, we really checked off a lot of criteria here.
It's
so,
become self-aware.
Thank you for listening to us. The podcast is somewhere. But thanks for listening, folks. Again, welcome to the new year, the new us. Tell us your resolutions, what you're doing. Leave us a message, 803-563-7169. You can also show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes. We love it. Love it. Love it. You can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
I've never had it, and
you're just going ahead and just doing it.
I'm just going ahead and just doing it, babe.
You're the reason why this is all happening.
I'm going ahead and I'm just doing it, babe.
You're doing it. Oh, well, guess what, guys? It's going to suck this year because AT didn't have Hoppin' John.